A third search for the Flight 447 black boxes is underway. Witnesses offer a clue in a landing accident involving an amphib. And an Angel Flight accident is traced in part to a lack of currency. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, March 29th, 2010. Air France Flight 447, the Airbus A330 that went down in the Atlantic off Brazil last June, is lying somewhere on the bottom of the ocean under 13,000 feet of water. 228 passengers and crew members were lost. The cockpit and flight data recorders were never found, but Air France and Airbus are putting up $13 million to conduct a third search for them. This time, the search area has been narrowed by an international scientific effort that includes the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution. Two remotely piloted deep water subs will be used in the latest search. Jean-Paul Trodec, head of the BEA French Investigation Agency, told a news conference in Brazil on Thursday, quote, "Without finding the recorders, this investigation could never be conclusive, and this accident could remain largely unexplained," unquote. After his amphibious maul flipped over during a water landing March 18th, pilot Kenneth Gedney was pulled, unconscious, from the plane as it sank in Lake Louisville in Texas. He was revived, and he pulled through. His 41-year-old passenger and business assistant, Kristen Colby, did not. Gedney told NTSB investigators he couldn't remember anything about the landing configuration as he approached the glassy surface, but that the plane nosed over abruptly and he tried to kick the doors open but could not. The next thing he knew, he was coming to on the boat. Now, witnesses have told NTSB investigators the plane's wheeled gear were down and visible below the floats. One who was startled by a loud noise looked out and saw only the bottom of the now submerged plane with its wheels sticking up from the water. The board has issued only a preliminary report. A final report on probable cause may be a year away. The board has found probable cause in a fatal accident involving a Bonanza being used for an Angel Flight mission when it came down in the parking lot of a shopping center near Boston on August 12th of 2008. The plane left Connecticut with an IFR clearance, and the pilot, Joseph Baker, was nearing his destination and being vectored onto the downwind for runway 4 right at Boston Logan International. While on base, he twice overshot course corrections called out by ATC, wandered and descended below his assigned altitude of 3,000 feet, and was warned twice of low altitude. Witnesses say the plane emerged from the clouds and crashed in a shopping center parking lot. Baker and two passengers, described as a cancer patient and his wife, all died. NTSB has determined Baker had not maintained instrument currency, and Angel Flight was not required to verify that currency. Of course, the official cause was pilot's failure to maintain control of the aircraft. Up next on ANN, the Russians are back to taunting the Brits. EADS helps with relief to Haiti. And small businesses ask Congress to clean up the maze. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher-performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for March 29th. I'm Paul Plack. AFP News reports Russian Tu-160 bombers were back taunting the RAF this month, with reported flights into British airspace. The Russian Blackjacks were intercepted by RAF Tornado F-3 fighters near Stornoway in the Outer Hebrides. The Tornadoes are said to have followed the bombers as they flew south, then turned north just before reaching the Irish coast and departed UK airspace. Wing Commander Mark Gorringe says it's the 20th such intercept since the start of 2009. The Kremlin admits its bombers did overflights of the Arctic Ocean and the Atlantic that day, quote, but did not violate any country's airspace, unquote. Sounds like it's time for some new vacuum tubes in somebody's nav equipment. Alabama is no stranger to the ravages of nature, often finding itself in the bullseye of hurricanes. So it's not surprising that its citizens would be moved to donate 3,000 pounds of relief supplies for Haitian earthquake victims. And one of its corporate citizens donated a flight to get the supplies to Port-au-Prince last week. EADS North America provided an Airbus military C-212 tactical transport aircraft to assist Governor Bob Riley's Office of Faith-Based and Community Initiatives in delivering the goods collected by the Montgomery Rescue Mission. EADS NA CEO Sean O'Keefe explained, quote, "The governor and all of our neighbors in Alabama have shown EADS and its divisions tremendous support and friendship over the years, and we are happy to have an opportunity to assist them with such a worthy endeavor," unquote. Robert R. Sproul III is the CEO of Therm Incorporated, which manufactures jet engine turbine airfoils. But last week in Washington, he was representing the 300 companies that are members of the Aerospace Industries Association. In testimony Wednesday, Sproul told the House Small Business Committee the complexity of the federal contracting process shuts out all but big companies from competing. That's significant since in aerospace, according to AIA, small companies represent about 70% of manufactured items. Sproul said the three major challenges faced by small companies are onerous entry barriers for contractors, financial requirements that can be difficult for even large businesses, and obstacles for small companies to retain government business as they grow. Sproul urged Congress to order a study of how laws and regulations can be simplified. Quote, "By opening the contracting process to new businesses, new jobs will be created, contracting requirements will be more easily understood, and businesses, particularly small firms, will be encouraged to grow and prosper," unquote. Still ahead, a logging crew discovers a warbird wreck on the Oregon coast. A TV reporter suffers an engine out during flight training. And another nominee to lead the TSA withdraws his name. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, March 29th. I'm Paul Plack. The wreckage of a Curtiss SB-2C Hell Diver has been discovered by loggers working in the woods near the Oregon coast, near what used to be Naval Air Station Tillamook, which was decommissioned in 1948. The facility was once the base for blimps that patrolled the coast during World War II, and it's now a popular aviation museum. Curator Christian Gerling says there were many different air stations from which the flight could have originated back then. Officials say a wing, a tail section, and other debris have been found spread across an area about 200 yards long. The Associated Press reports that a logging company came across the wreckage on March 18th and notified the U.S. Navy, which has sent a team to work with local authorities and the Joint Prisoner of War Missing in Action Accounting Command, which is based in Hawaii. Investigators have yet to determine, though, if there are any human remains at the crash site. Christy Henderson is the chief meteorologist for WSPA-TV, Channel 7 in Spartanburg, South Carolina. On her off time, she's also a student for the private pilot certificate. Christy had plenty to blog about last week. On Wednesday morning, she was up with her instructor, Mrs. Orr, in a Cessna 150, practicing turns, slow flight, and landing approaches. Christy writes that the engine coughed, started running very rough, and her CFI reported their location to controllers, then put the plane down in a plowed dirt field. She relates, quote, "That part was almost like a textbook landing. The only problem is that the nose wheel dug into the fairly deep dirt, which caused it to flip," unquote. Both ladies were checked out at Spartanburg Regional Medical Center and sent home to recover from a few bumps and bruises. Christy was openly pondering whether to wear sunglasses or a pirate's eye patch to cover the shiner she got. If you'd like to read a rare example of a TV personality electing not to inflate the drama of a routine off-field landing, look for Christy's blog at WSPA.com. And finally today, it looks like the Transportation Security Administration will wander leaderless for a while longer. On Friday, which is the best day to resign if you're going to try to minimize your media profile, retired U.S. Army Major General Robert A. Harding withdrew his name from consideration to lead the agency. That makes the second time an Obama nominee for the job has quit in the heat of the Senate confirmation process. Harding had been fielding questions all week from senators who apparently felt the expertise he displayed as a government contractor itself somehow made him unqualified to actually be in the government. To be fair, there was a $6 million contract a few years ago in which an audit turned up duplicate charges to the government, and Harding returned $1.8 million of it. The final straw may have come when the Washington Post last week called Harding out for claiming sleep apnea as qualifying him for status as a service-disabled veteran, which gave him preferential consideration in a contract awarded last July, worth almost $100 million. Harding's consulting company was reportedly the only bidder. In withdrawing his name, Harding would only say, quote, "I feel that the distractions caused by my work as a defense contractor would not be good for this administration nor for the Department of Homeland Security," unquote. The Post reports the decision appears to have blindsided the TSA, which was already shuffling personnel in anticipation of quick confirmation. White House spokesman Nicholas Shapiro noted Harding's lifetime of military and intelligence experience and commented, quote, "The president is disappointed in this outcome, but remains confident in the solid team of professionals at TSA," unquote. You know, I don't know about you, but I'm kind of bothered by this. This isn't like the last Obama TSA nominee who quit. Former FBI agent Errol Southers gave inconsistent explanations for his abuse of database access to snoop on his ex and her new boyfriend, which, especially in a time when we appear to be on the verge of much more government warehousing of our personal data, is a pretty big deal to me. We certainly will not find anyone more qualified for this job than Harding. His stated focus on Israeli-inspired vetting of passengers instead of more high-tech screening of grandmothers had me genuinely excited that change was coming. As far as his government contracting background, it looks like he was willing to take a pay cut to actually lead the agency from the inside. Whether you think sleep apnea should be considered a service-related disability or not, apparently it was allowed. You can't set up a system that rewards people for their race and disabilities and then get mad when somebody unexpected qualifies. The rules are the rules. Harding would have qualified for preferential treatment anyway because he's black. So now, in a major irony, General Harding will continue on in his role as a highly paid Pentagon consultant. What the administration calls its single most important unfilled position remains vacant. And after failing twice, the president will probably look for somebody less remarkable for the third try. And I think it's safe to say the White House's confidence in the current interim management at TSA is not universally shared. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves singles out three organizations he says will make a difference in improving flight training. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening, and have a clear and unlimited day.